G'day, this is Oscar, and this is subscriber-only content. Recently, I was interviewing Michael Bungay Stanya, MBS, as he calls himself. Who is he? Well, since 2014, he's been in the top 10 coaches in the globe. We had an interview on a range of topics, and I'm in the middle of editing the episode, and I wanted to share with you his thoughts on how to get the most during a team meeting that's via video, as well as how you should show up when the speaker's in broadcast mode. Michael explains how can you bring the best out of your people, whether they're introverts or extroverts, how to create psychological safety during interactive video meetings, and how to use the chat function in a way that's productive. If you'd like to learn more of these practical, engaging techniques about how to listen on video conferences, and as a host, how to set up a listening environment where the participants want to contribute, visit oscartrimboli.com/video conference. There you can register your interest for the ultimate guide in how to listen on a video conference. Thanks for listening. One of the things our audience say they continuously struggle with is the team meeting or the work in progress meeting or the project meeting, where there may be 6, 7, 8, 9 people, yet whether that's on a video conference or a face-to-face meeting, only the same voices, usually the loudest voices or the most energetic voices, are heard. Do you have some tips for the meeting host or the leader to really elicit what's unsaid from everybody else in the room in a group conversation?
I would go, all right, well, that's interesting. Why are some people talking more and why are some people talking less? Other than habit, you know, we've just got into a routine here and it's like, I expect Michael to yabber on and on and on because he likes the sound of my voice, his own voice. I expect Oscar to be quiet but devastating when he's asked a good question, that sort of thing. So it's just a kind of pattern that breaks up. So I think there's two things to look at, the people who are talking too much and the people who aren't talking enough. And I'm like, how do I manage all of that? If I start with the people whose voice I'd like to hear more of, I would say, all right, there's all sorts of dynamics that might explain this. One is the classic kind of introverted thing, which just means it takes me a little longer to process the thoughts in my mind before I know how to articulate them. I'm a good example of an extrovert. Oscar asks me a question and I launch into it without any clear idea what my answer is actually going to be. I mean, I am as interested as all of us as to what my answer to this question is going to be. I don't quite know yet myself. We're going to find out. Stay tuned. But for people who are like, you know, I like to kind of at least see the shape of my answer before I start speaking my answer, they will often not get a chance around that. Then there's a kind of deeper level, which might be around the level of psychological safety, which is also speaking to the power that's in the group, which is like, you know, particularly, you know, I'm a woman, I'm a person of color, I'm a visible or an invisible minority for some reason. It just makes it harder. There's just 1,000 pieces of research around this, to speak up than it is for somebody like me. Like, I am classic privileged man. Look, I'm, for those of you who are not watching this, I'm very good looking, I'm white, I'm straight, cis, I'm overeducated, I'm eloquent, I speak English, I'm 6'3", I'm relatively slender. Like, I just got dealt the pack. And then I've got a speech impediment, which makes me quirkily interesting. So it's like, it's ideal. I might have a little more awareness than some other people who look like me, but we have that. And if you're not that, if depending on how few of those boxes of white, straight, male, et cetera, that you tick, there's just a degree of risk and psychological safety in speaking up. Part of if I'm running that meeting, I'm just conscious of whose voices I'd like a little more of and whose voices I might need to tamp down. Sometimes that can just mean conversations outside the meeting where I go, hey, Oscar, here's the thing. I love when you contribute in these meetings, I love it. You're insightful. You're brilliant. You often ask great questions that change the nature of it. And the truth is I want a little bit more of that. What can I do to support you to help you speak up a little bit more in these meetings, because we all win when you speak up a little bit more. And who knows how that conversation then goes, but one of the things that I might have in my back pocket is to say, look, here's the thing I can promise you. If you speak up, I'm going to back you up. I will have your back around what gets said. Or I might go, hey, Oscar, you know, you're such an active participant in this meeting, you know, and you often bring really interesting things to say. But, you know, I actually tracked it and you speak about 20% of the time and there's 10 of us in the meeting. So your voice is a bit overrepresented. I really want to hear the key things you want to say, and I want to create space for other people. What are some of the ways that we could work to figure out how you could show up differently in this meeting? So there's just a bunch of stuff to be done outside it, because what you don't really want to do is shame anybody in the meeting itself. You don't want to go, Oscar, for God's sake, shut up, man. You're monologuing here. You're a nightmare. That's not going to really work, at least not as an initial strategy. Then there's structural strategies. And one of the things that I use a lot is breaking big groups into small groups. I'm like, great. Here's the challenge. Here's what I want us to think about. I'm going to break you into pairs, or I'm going to break you into triads. And I'm going to ask you to talk about this for 5 minutes, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to hear the report out. For group A, Joan, I'd like you to be the reporting out, maybe a voice that I don't hear that often. For group B, hey, Samantha, I'd like you to be the person who's reporting out, another voice that I don't get to hear that often. And in pairs and in triads, it's much easier for there to be an equal share of voice and a sense of contribution. Plus, when people do that, they've had a chance to rehearse what they're going to say. So you're creating greater psychological safety because, you know, Sandy has gone, well, I thought we should say this. And the rest of her group go, yeah, that sounds perfect. And they're like, okay, good. I've said it out loud. It didn't sound stupid when I said it. I've heard the other two people on my team say, yeah, it's a good thing, share that. So you've got a degree of security in sharing it. So you've reduced risk by helping people go forward. So there's, I don't know, what, two or three possible ways of trying to make those meetings a little better.
And I think a lot of people say they get frustrated now with team meetings via video conferencing, but one of the great democratizing tools of listening is the chat window, where you can literally not only hear from everybody, but everybody can hear from themselves as well.
No, I run online workshops and keynotes and stuff all the time. And so I'll have often 500 or 600 people that I'm presenting to, and I blow up the chat box. I just blow it up because I'm doing it less for me to be the hub and to take in everything that's being said, but for the group to see the collective wisdom and collective engagement that's happening. You know, as when I run a keynote or a workshop, you know, live or virtually, I will almost always start with some question that invites people to check in on how they want to show up. On Zoom, I'll go, okay, on a score of 1 to 7, how focused would you like to be during this 1 hour together? 1 is not focused at all. 1 is kids are setting something alight over there. There's a band playing over there. There's a herd of wildebeest in that corner. You're texting people on both of your phones right now. And quite frankly, this 1 hour, you're just going to use it as background noise while you get some real stuff done. 7, you're bringing kind of intention and focus. You've got your noise canceling headphones on. You've locked the kids in a cupboard. You've put the fire out, and you're really going to kind of squeeze the value from this. I don't mind what number you choose. The choice is yours entirely, but put the number in the chat box for me, please, so we can kind of see what's going on here. Good. Lots of 7s, some 6s, some 5s. I like all of that. And then I'll go, here's my request. Whatever number you've chosen, and I don't mind, make one adjustment to your environment that will help you get to the number that you want to hit. That invitation for people to show up into conversation is really powerful because it's a very helpful framing to go, I bet most of the people don't know why they're here and they don't know what's expected of them. And if you can kind of set them up, you're building let's call it a social contract around, here's how I'm expecting you to show up because here's how I'm going to show up. And you just set yourself up for a little more success, perhaps.
If you'd like to learn more, visit oscartrimboli.com/videoconference. Thanks for listening.